In today's gospel, we are urged to be humble before God. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes of my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
When I was about 9 years old, I remember having a little children's book of the saints. I remember it because every saint in the book, they had a story about the saint on one side and then a sketch, a drawing on the other side. And as I was telling the people at daily mass this week, because the saint I'm going to mention's feast was actually this past week, the saint that really captured my imagination in this book was Saint Ignatius of Antioch. Now, he's one of your favorite saints, right? You know Saint Ignatius well, right, all of you? Ignatius was the successor of Saint Peter in the city of Antioch. Antioch was an ancient city in Turkey in those days. Saint Peter founded the church there. When he moved on, Ignatius became the bishop of Antioch. And ultimately, he was brought to Rome and martyred. But the picture of St. Ignatius, the thing that stuck in my mind was that this picture of him in the book showed him kneeling down with this big lion ready to pounce on him. I guess that's what captured my imagination. But his story really is very inspirational. On his way to Rome under guard, he wrote letters to the churches, the Christian churches in the cities he was passing through. He wrote some very powerful things. For example, in one of the letters he writes this, I am the wheat of God, to be ground by the teeth of the wild animals into the pure bread of Christ. I am the wheat of God. The wild animals' teeth will grind me up to turn me into the pure bread of Christ. He wrote one of his other letters to the people in whatever city it was. I'm about to be born. Don't cause me to be stillborn. So he saw himself in dying and going to heaven. He didn't want the people to try to help him escape or to, you know, get his sentence reduced. He didn't want to be stillborn. He wanted to be born into heaven. Powerful. Now, I thought about St. Ignatius of Antioch in connection with the second letter today that the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, which we read just a few moments ago. Because in this letter, when Paul writes this letter to Timothy, he himself is in Rome, in prison, awaiting his own martyrdom. We see him say that today, don't we? I'm being poured out already like an offering, like a libation. I'm being poured out. And he said, I'm going to be departing soon. But the important thing for us in what Paul says to us today is this. Even though he knows he's going to experience martyrdom, the thing that St. Paul takes consolation in, the thing that he's going to be able to offer to God in his mind, is that he can look back over his life and see that he was faithful. He says those words today to us. Those words I'm sure we've all heard. I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. I fought the good fight. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. Every day I've done this. And that's what he takes glory in. Not so much even his martyrdom. He's faithful day by day. That's a thing for us to consider, you know, because when you and I stand before God, I don't think any of us here probably will be able to offer martyrdom to God. We won't be martyrs. Although in many parts of the world, there are many martyrs still being made. Africa, the Far East, South America. I read someplace not long ago. It's hard for me to believe this, but I don't know who figures these things out, but that in the last 100 years, there have been more Christian martyrs than the whole period of history before that. Now, when we think about all the Christians that died in the earliest days of the church, it seems hard to believe that more than that have died in the last 100 years. But they're being martyred all over the world. Sometimes because Christianity is unwelcome in a particular country. Sometimes because Christians in a given place are fighting for justice, fighting for the poor, fighting for land reform, fighting against corrupt governments, and they're martyred. But as I say, you and I probably aren't going to face that. So what will we offer to God when we stand before him? The same thing St. Paul took glory in. We'll be able to say, hopefully, I have fought the good fight. I have run the race. I have kept the faith. Day by day, year by year, that hopefully describes us as well. You know, St. Paul is a wonderful example of that to us. All kinds of examples in his writings in the scripture, but one that stands out in my mind is in one of his letters, he writes about going up to Athens, the city of Athens in Greece at one point, to try to start a church there. And he goes up to the Acropolis. Now, you've all seen pictures of the Acropolis in Athens where all the big temples were and so forth up in the mountain in Athens, the mount there. He goes up there. Paul goes up there. And he's looking around. How is he going to, you know, get that? And that's where all the philosophers met up there and all the intellectual people of Athens. How is he going to be able to, you know, find a way in, so to speak? So he's wandering around the Acropolis. And he comes upon this altar. And the altar is dedicated to an unknown god. The Greeks are trying to cover all their bases, okay? They got all these Temple of Athena and Temple of Apollo and all that, but just in case there's a god they don't know, an altar to an unknown god. And Paul says, aha, this is my way in. So he gets up and he starts talking and people gather around and he says, I see you people are very pious and religious. You have an altar to an unknown god. Let me tell you who that unknown God is. He starts talking about Christ. And they listen and they're very attentive until he says that this Christ died on a cross and was raised up. When he says that, people say, what, this guy's nuts. And that doesn't happen. All these sophisticated Greeks, they just laughed Paul to scorn. They said, we'll come back another day and listen to this. We'll come back some other time. So this poor Paul up there, humiliated, defeated, what's he do? The next day he goes back up to the Acropolis. The next day, does the same thing all over again. See, day after day after day, being faithful, running the race, fighting the good fight. And that's what you and I are called to do, that same kind of thing. That's what most of us do every day. I remember talking one day to a man about these words of St. Paul about, you know, running the race and fighting the good fight. He said to me, I didn't realize that St. Paul had to drive down 495 every day. But that's the point, you see. How many people drive down 495 every day, facing that every single day, maybe going to a job they don't particularly care for, maybe going to an environment that's not very easy to work in or to be a Christian in, but they do it every single day. Why? Because their family needs them to do that. And when they do it, they're fighting the good fight. They're running the race. They're keeping the faith every day. Or think about those of you who are parents or were parents with little ones. Talk about a 24/7 job. Being a parent with the little ones is a 24/7 job, especially if you got two or three of them underfoot at the same time, right? Every day, your own needs go unmet sometimes. You sacrifice all kinds of things for the sake of these little ones. When you do that, what are you doing? You're fighting the good fight. You're running the race. You're keeping the faith. That's what you're doing. Or again, think about somebody in our family that disappoints us. Might be a spouse, might be a child, might be a relative. They disappoint us. They hurt us. But what do? Every day we forgive them. Every day we try to love them. Every day we try to make that relationship better. Because that's what God wants us to do. Every day we do that. All the time we do that. What are we doing? We're fighting the good fight. We're running the race. We're keeping the faith. And that's the thing. Those are the things we'll offer to God. All of us. Those are the things that will please God. That everyday faithfulness that St. Paul took glory in. I don't know if I've ever shared this little story with you before, but if I did, certainly worth repeating in this context. Story about the German king, Henry III, in the Middle Ages. This isn't an English Henry now, a German Henry, all right? And he'd been king of whatever part of Germany it was in those days for about 25 years. He was maybe 50 years old, unmarried. He was sick of being king, sick. Couldn't deal with it anymore. Sick of the infighting, sick of the backbiting, sick of the complaining, sick of all the palace intrigue, sick of, you know, trying to defend the country from enemies, and he was just tired of it all. He wanted out. So he decided, I'm going to become a monk. The peace, the quiet, the prayer, this would be wonderful. So he goes to the abbot of the local monastery. He says, Abbot, he said, I've decided I want to become a monk. So the abbot said, well, he said, Henry, he said, you know, if you become a monk, you're going to have to obey everything I say. You have to obey the abbot and everything. Now, that's not going to be easy for you because you were the one giving the orders up until now. So are you going to be able to obey everything I tell you to do? Henry says, no doubt, I'll do it. I want to be a monk. I want to obey you. I will obey you. Abbot said, fine. Here's my first order to you. Go back to the palace and be the king. Go back to the palace where God put you and be faithful to where he put you. Go back and be the best king you can. And he did. You see the point? We can't run away from everyday life. We can't run away from the things of every day, the challenges, the ups, the downs. But it's in being faithful every day that we serve God. And that's what we'll hold up to God at the end. That's what we'll be able to do at the end. Let me conclude with a little saying that I think is very true and something we should take great consolation in. Somebody wrote these words. It takes as much faith to live for Christ every day as it does to die for him once. It takes as much faith to live for Christ every day as it does to die for him once. You and I, living for Christ every day, fighting the good fight, running the race, keeping the faith. When we stand before God, and that's what we offer to him, you know what we're going to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter the kingdom of my Father. May God bless you.